As human beings, every act we take is driven by an emotion. So understanding why we do what we do when emotionally charged is important, especially when the action we are taking is eating. On this week's episode, I will break down what drives us to eat the way we do when emotions run high. If you want to understand why you reach for cake when stressed out by family members and learn some strategies to avoid it, let's go. Do you want to lose weight but struggle to stay committed to a meal plan because you constantly feel hungry? Does food provide you with comfort when you are bored, angry, lonely, or sad? If so, you are in the right place. My name is Kristen Jones, and I'm a life coach specializing in emotional eating and weight loss, and I'm also a lifelong emotional eater. I want to provide you with information, motivation, and support so you too can learn to manage your issues with food and develop a healthy relationship with yourself. Welcome to the Breakthrough Emotional Eating Podcast. Hi, and welcome to the Breakthrough Emotional Eating Podcast. My name is Kristen Jones, and thank you so much for joining me this week. So this episode is being recorded 4 days before Thanksgiving, and so, or 3 days before Thanksgiving. And so what I thought was really relevant, and I know it's extremely relevant to me, and it's very important to me, and something that I think is important to convey to listeners. And it's something that applies all year round, but I think with the holidays, it's especially relevant, is we need to understand how our emotions directly impact our eating and the choices that we make. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So there are two main things that the two ways that your emotions impact the way that you eat. And the first one is a connection between emotions and comfort, and how we are always seeking comfort for those emotions. The second is the way we use food as a coping mechanism. And so we're going to look at those two things. But first off, before we get onto that, thank you so much for joining me. I know that whenever you're watching or listening to this, I know people are busy. I know we have lots going on. So I'm always so appreciative of my audience and you taking the time to listen to this podcast. And I really hope that I provide value. That's what my goal always is to give you a couple of things to take away that you can use immediately in your life. So let's get to it. We're going to talk about, again, the impact, the two ways that emotions directly impact your eating. So when we think about the connection between emotions and then seeking out comfort, there is a direct connection between that seeking of comfort and comfort food. And so there is a very, very strong, there's a reason why we turn to food and why we turn to comfort foods. So the first thing I want to talk about is there are three situations that trigger a desire for comfort foods. There are three situations, and some of them are emotions, but there's three situations that lead people towards turning towards comfort foods when emotions run high. So those three situations or those three emotions are: the first one is stress, the second one is sadness, and the third one is loneliness. So if we take stress first, this is really like Bill Nye the Science Guy. This is all about, like, this is about what happens within your body when you are under stress. So when you're under stress, your body releases cortisol, and cortisol can increase your cravings for high fat and sugary foods. So stress often often tells our body that we need a quick energy source. High fat, sugar, great energy sources, and they transition and they happen quickly in the body. So they provide you with a a rapid form of energy that gives you a temporary solution to your stress. So it makes sense why stress asks you, you know, when you're under stress, you turn towards comfort food. That, and that's from a purely physiological reason, physiological situation. Sadness, the second one, it's oftentimes that comfort foods, and I was just talking about this, but oftentimes comfort foods evoke memories of positive situations or nostalgia or family situations or friend situations that bring back nice, warm memories. And so people want to indulge in foods that will bring back those feelings. It's not really the food that they want. It's the feelings that are associated with it. So sadness can oftentimes, people will turn to comfort food because they know that made me feel really good. It reminds me of this situation that I was in that felt really good and was really positive. And so it really makes sense that people would turn to that and to seek comfort in that way. Now, and it almost kind of the same reason that we turn to food, comfort foods for sadness is the same thing, same reason why we turn to it for loneliness. People can, when they feel isolated, they have a desire for companionship. They have a desire for comfort. And people often find familiarity in certain types of foods, especially foods from their childhoods that they know made them feel comforted. And so it creates a situation where they don't feel quite so lonely. So those three situations. So if you think about it and you think about the holidays, for many people, and this is the thing that I think sometimes people get confused about, is for many people, you can be surrounded by lots of people and you can still be sad and you can still feel lonely. And so it's important for us to give ourselves a little bit of grace, but to recognize that just because you're surrounded by people, that doesn't mean that you're not going to feel sad. It doesn't mean that you're not going to feel lonely. It doesn't mean that you're immune from stress just because things look a certain way. No, you absolutely can feel all of those emotions. Now, the second thing we're going to talk about when it comes to that, the comfort food and the three ways that we trigger ourselves for these comfort foods. The second reason is there are three psychological reasons why we want to find solace in specific types of foods. So as we had mentioned, nostalgia is one of the huge ones. An association with positive memories, bringing back those positive memories from childhood, from previous situations, all of those, that contributes. There being rituals and routines, anytime that we can associate something positive, whether it's a ritual or routine, something that makes us feel safe and secure. And when those things are associated with comfort foods, we're going to turn to those things because, again, it's going to make us feel safe and secure. But there's one psychological reason, and I think this is probably a very common reason why people turn to comfort foods, is our brain wants rewards. It's always seeking rewards. It's looking for that feel good neurotransmitter. And that neurotransmitter is dopamine. It's always wanting that because it makes us happy and it makes us feel good. So oftentimes there's an association with the consumption of comfort foods and that the reward that they give us because it releases neurotransmitters like dopamine, and it can create a temporary sense of pleasure and relief. Now, the thing that we have to understand is we can actually get dopamine and have our brain release dopamine in other ways that are non-food related. So we just have to know, and we're going to talk about that. But if you think about, if you have kids and you think about your kid having a little chart at school that gives them like stars and stickers and rainbows and all this stuff, if they behave well, the reason why they do that is because little kids, just like adults, respond to that reward. They respond to seeing like, oh, I'm improving. I've done something. I've accomplished something. And so that really is a motivation for people. So we can actually end up using that as a way of not using it against us, but using it for our own benefit. And then the third, there are three ways that your brain responds to those comfort foods. Again, when emotions run high, there are three reasons why your brain responds to comfort foods. And so why then you seek them out. The first one is something we just talked about, that dopamine release, that because of them being high in fat and high in sugar, that releases dopamine, and that just makes us feel good. And that's what people want, especially when they're stressed, they're lonely, or they're sad. They want to feel good in the moment. So it can give that temporary relief and that temporary distraction so you don't feel that way just for a brief moment of time. But then you have to end up eating more and more. And that's where we get into trouble. The second thing is when we do get that dopamine, we do get, there's also dopamine's released, there's also serotonin, but we get endorphins. So endorphins are released when we eat chocolate. Chocolate is one of those things that is a natural mood lifter, and it can temporarily give us a very, very strong feeling of well-being that will allow us to be able to just for those moments feel a little bit better. And that's really what we're seeking when we're stressed, lonely, or sad. So understanding that it is a natural way for us to respond, but it's not the way that we necessarily want to respond. Now we have to understand, in order to change a behavior, you have to understand why it's happening. So today's episode really tells you, why are these things happening? Why do I turn to those foods? Why do I want those foods when I'm feeling those certain ways? And again, I want to stress, you may be at a Thanksgiving gathering of 25, and you may still be sad, lonely, and stressed. It's just the way it is. So we have to be aware that just because we're surrounded by people, that doesn't necessarily mean that we are going to be happy. So we have to understand these emotional triggers and the psychological and the neurological responses to comfort food, because then we can actually start to look at alternative coping mechanisms. Now, we're going to be talking about food as a coping mechanism. We need to find those alternative coping mechanisms, those alternative ways that we can make ourselves feel that reward, that dopamine hit, and it doesn't have to be related to food. And we're going to get to that. Okay. So the second thing is how we use food as a coping mechanism. So we have an emotion and how that impacts, you know, our eating. Well, we have a coping mechanism that with the emotion we don't want to deal with. So that coping mechanism is turning to food during times of emotional distress. So there are three reasons why that happens. And one is it gives us immediate comfort. Again, that high fat, high sugar automatically just calms us down and kind of gives us that like, oh, I can breathe again. But it's only very temporary. And if the problem persists, we are going to keep eating over and over and over. And we're going to continue to rapidly move through that cycle. The second reason we do it is because it does numb us. It emotionally numbs us. It distracts us. It gives us like that squirrel, that, you know, that thing that we just are like, okay, I don't want to focus on how I'm feeling. I don't want to focus on my sadness and my loneliness. So let me be distracted by this other thing. And so that emotional numbing, or where the problem then doesn't seem as bad, it's still there. We're not dealing with it. It's still there. And that's where the problem really lies. And then again, those associations with comfort foods, those associations in our brain that our brain, your brain is so amazingly powerful, and it can pull things up that happened 50, 60 years, however old you are, it can pull up things that happened when you were so young, and it can make it like, oh my gosh, I remember that made me feel so good. I need to feel that way right now. And so that association with that comfort will lead us to eat those foods because we think that's going to take care of it. That's going to make it go away. And it will for a very brief moment in time, but that problem hasn't been addressed. And so it's not going to be dealt with. The second reason why we use food as a coping mechanism is that role of those neurotransmitters. So we're back to the nerdy science stuff. But again, we have two main hormones that are neurotransmitters that are released. Serotonin is one, dopamine is the other. So the serotonin, which regulates mood, and it is oftentimes associated with, again, happiness and feelings of well-being. Carbohydrates, you know, main thing in comfort foods, can temporarily increase serotonin levels, and that then consequently you can again unconsciously turn to those foods and your mood starts to elevate. You start to feel better and you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I'm just like, I've taken care of it. Now the problem's solved. But it's not, because those emotions still haven't been dealt with. We're coping with it, but we're not dealing with it. Coping and dealing are two very different things. And the other neurotransmitter and hormone that's released is that feel good one, which is the dopamine. And there are so many ways. Remember how I talked about the little sticker chart or the reward chart for kids? It's the same thing for adults. We can give ourselves other types of rewards, other type of accomplishments that aren't food related, and that can still make us feel not as sad, not as lonely, and not as stressed. So those are ways, and there are definitely healthier alternatives and different ways. And that's what we're going to talk about right now, is how do we actually start to do different things? How do we start to not turn to food? When our emotions run high, we know that our go-to is let's eat something. That's our way of dealing with it. But how about if we say, okay, you know what? Now there's some healthier alternatives. I can start choosing those instead. And it's not about going for a walk. It's not about exercising. It's not, in all honesty, exercise was one of the options and I refused to talk about it because I think exercise is just a way of avoiding. And we need to actually process those feelings of sadness, of loneliness, and stress. Those, they have to be dealt with. When we just distract, we are just prolonging the problem. So the first thing that you can do to address and not use food as a coping mechanism, not go to that food because it has all those, you know, wonderful nostalgic memories for you, is to develop an awareness of what your emotional triggers are and being really present in those moments when you can start to feel yourself turning to food. You can start to feel yourself becoming sad, lonely, you know, stressed, and recognizing that, and then dealing with the distress before you decide to turn to food. So how do you do that? Well, you need to actually acknowledge that you're feeling that way. That's probably one of the most important things, is so oftentimes we don't want to acknowledge that we're actually feeling a certain way. So we have to own and not try and like pretend like it's not happening. So the first step is you got to acknowledge it. Like I'm feeling, and loneliness and sadness is a hard thing to acknowledge, but we have to start dealing with. We have to start just saying like, I'm lonely. I'm sad. This is how I'm feeling, and be honest about that. The second thing is we need to express it. We need to have healthy outlets for expressing ourselves emotionally. And whether that is having a friend to call, whether it's journaling, whether it's, you know, engaging in some sort of creative activity, whether it's writing, you know, journaling, painting, something that allows you to be able to express what you're feeling without any negative consequences and without using food as a bridge to do that. And then the third thing is we need to have stress reduction techniques that we already know are right there, because even though we think of stress as being like we're hyped up, when we're sad or when we're lonely, we need to have those same techniques. Well, how do we deal with that? What do we do when we're stressed? What do we do when we're sad? What do we do when we are lonely? And so having those techniques that we can use, and whether it's deep breathing, whether it's, you know, meditating. And it's not even meditating. Meditating sounds like, oh God, I got to sit and try to be, you know, I try to be calm and meditative. You just have to be in silence. Just allow yourself to be with your thoughts and just let them be. Just taking some deep breaths, being by yourself, going outside, standing in nature, and just breathing and feeling your body and feeling where you're feeling these things. Again, you know, talking to a friend, journaling, some sort of creative outlet, whether it's, you know, creative writing or whether it's painting, but something to allow you to express and process those feelings that you have. Now, I have something that I use within my membership that allows people to process their emotions and talk themselves through what they're feeling. And it's about going inside your body and acknowledging how you're feeling. And that can be incredibly powerful as well. So any of these techniques that allow you to be able to acknowledge and actually process those feelings and then allowing them to just dissipate out of your body is so vital and so important, because otherwise we're just holding, our body doesn't let go of things. We hold on to stuff. We have to allow ourselves to have that expression. So if we don't have that expression, we will turn to food. So if we, if, you know, bottom line is, if you have those moments, and most likely you will have at least one or two of those moments on Thursday, or leading up to Thursday, especially if family is coming to stay with you, you have to think, how am I going to express this? Who am I going to turn to? How am I going to process this? How am I going to get it out of my body where I acknowledge it and then I let it go and I let myself feel it. And then it's time to move on. And food doesn't have to be involved at all. Then you can say, okay, well, what's going to give me that little endorphin rush? Okay, maybe it is going for a quick little walk and you accomplish that and you're like, doot, doot, check done. Okay, I feel good. That gives me the reward that I wanted. It's not that I'm going to exercise so I forget about this problem. It's I've processed it out. Now I've accomplished something. Now I can get my little dopamine hit and then I'm good to go. So understanding that process and understanding that process of how do I work through those emotions? How do I allow myself to do that? That's what needs to be done in order to really make sure that you are really processing that information and not holding on to it and not then turning to food as a way to make yourself feel better. So that is really what I want to give for you for this week, is really recognizing, what are your emotional triggers? You now know why you would turn to something like this, why you would turn to food. So you want to have those alternative stress reduction techniques, those things that you can do when those events, when those emotions come up. But it's important to acknowledge them and then to have some place, someone, something, journaling, you know, deep breathing, being outside in nature, all ways of processing it and then letting it go out of your body and then moving on with your life. That's what we need to be doing instead of allowing ourselves to get caught up into those triggers and then being pulled, let our brain pull us into, oh, this is going to make you feel better. Here, have a cupcake because you liked those cupcakes at your birthday party when you were 8. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that anymore. We're adults. We get to make different decisions now. I hope that this has been helpful. I hope that it is something that you can carry with you and you can listen to a few more times before you hit your Thanksgiving this week. And again, this applies anytime. We always need these ways of dealing with our emotions in the moment and then deciding, okay, how am I going to process this? I'm going to acknowledge it. I'm going to allow it. I'm not going to hide from it, but I'm not going to use food and to cope with things, because that's just not what I do as an adult anymore. I hope this has been helpful. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. If you're listening to this in the middle of the summer, have a great week. And I will catch you all next week. All right, take care.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. To begin your journey towards losing your weight and managing your emotional eating, sign up for my free course, Food Freedom. Go to www.kristinjonescoaching, kristinjonescoaching.com, and click the link that says sign up for the free course.